Amp on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard. It's Wednesday morning. It's an abbreviated version of MP on the mic. We'll get out of here 11:35. Make way for the AAA Flying Squirrels pregame show with Blaine and Trey out at the Diamond. The Squirrels, as of yesterday, were not in last place anymore. The Squirrels, as of this morning, are back in last place. It was fun while it lasted. And today they'll take on the Reading Fighting Phils, try to get back to 500 in the second half of the season. No AWOD radio today because of the Squirrels game. We checked in with our guy Stubb, though, because the memes everywhere. You pick your top 10 movies of the 21st century. It's one of the, you know, it's a New York Times thing. They're ranking the movies of the 21st century. And they got their film critics who pick, you know, the art house movies and whatever. And Stubb and I were in agreement on one film. Like, probably more than one film, but one film that was notable, and you called attention to it. WALL-E.
Yeah.
I love WALL-E. I'm just going to say it. Great movie.
How can you not love WALL-E?
That company in WALL-E. Do you know what company that is?
No.
That's Amazon.
Oh.
How is it not Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
Like, but that was before Amazon was a thing.
Oof.
It was prophetic.
That's a little bit, yeah.
Right?
Whew.
Isn't it?
Slightly concerning.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I think it is, a little bit. We got a lot to get to today. Griffin, the intern's going to join us. We'll go around the NFL. We'll check in with our friend Aaron Rodgers. We'll give you the Flying Squirrels recap. At 11 o'clock, we'll chat with Zach Joachim of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He'll fill us in on everything going on with VCU hoops. And we need the primer because they turned that team over. A lot of new faces, a lot of new names at VCU this season. He'll give us the off-season update. Get us ready. A reminder that we'll check out after this week. We're off next week. You'll hear the best of MP on the mic. Hope everybody has a safe 4th of July holiday. Shoot off the fireworks, but don't do it near other people. Be a good person. Go out in the countryside if you're going to shoot off your fireworks. That's MP's PSA. Here's a plan. We'll start this morning. I want to go deep professor mode on the NFL because this people are talking about this. And I think people don't know what they're talking about. And so I'm going to talk about it. And we're going to break this down a little bit. So Pablo Torre, who does a sports podcast, got a document. It was an arbitrator's ruling on whether or not NFL owners colluded in 2022 to reject guaranteed contracts for players. So there's Pablo Torre. He does a podcast. I love Pablo Torre. He's breaking it down. Mike Florio is the other reporter on this. He does Pro Football Talk. He's on Sunday Night Football in America. What do they call it? Whatever. Football Night in America. He's a lawyer by training. He is. I'll just put all the cards on the table on Mike Florio. I don't like him because when he started, he was the first person doing what he did. He was the Drudge Report of football. And it was annoying as somebody who was out reporting, calling people, talking to people, he would then just regurgitate it and everybody be like, did you see what Mike Florio reported? And I'd be like, oh, but he didn't. But as with everything, if you wait long enough, somebody will do it skeezier than you. And now it's like, I mean, I can't hate on the guy. He's doing it honorably in a world where aggregation is not done honorably at all. Time changes things. It's water under the bridge, Mike Florio. You're good now. The game changed. You didn't change. At some point, he's going to be railing against the Twitter, the people who do the fake stories on Twitter and take things out of context and an engagement farm. Time is a flat circle. Mike Florio, former lawyer, of course, well-positioned to weigh in on this. And a couple things here. Mike Florio says one of his sources is calling it the biggest ruling in sports since the 1990s, the biggest legal ruling in sports since the 1990s. Pablo Torre is saying that the mass media is hiding from talking about this because they don't want to anger the NFL. That's why you're not hearing about it on CBS or on Fox or on ESPN.
Do I need to hit Conspiracy Corner here?
You do. You do actually need to hit conspiracy corner here. So let's take those on. Let's take those allegations on. Let's tell you what's in this. And let's tell you the real reason why people aren't talking about this in conspiracy corner.
What's going on here?
Conspiracy theories. A lot of conspiracy theories out there.
I don't know.
You don't know who you're messing with.
So let's get to it.
Deshaun Watson. Y'all remember Deshaun Watson. He was a football player. He was very good. Got in some legal trouble. There were a number of allegations about masseuses. Got suspended for a year. Came back and signed one of the biggest contracts in NFL history with the Cleveland Browns. Fully guaranteed, which is a thing that does not happen in the NFL. Most NFL contracts are not guaranteed, which means they can cut you at any time and stop paying you. My contract at Odyssey, not fully guaranteed. If they tell me not to report to work tomorrow, they stop paying me. But other sports have fully guaranteed contracts. In baseball, they sign you to a 9-year deal in baseball. And 8 years from now, if they cut you, they still got to pay you in the 9th year. NFL doesn't work that way. The contracts aren't guaranteed. Deshaun Watson got a fully guaranteed contract. So the heart of this thing that Pablo Torre is talking about that is making the rounds is the NFL Players Association says at the owners' meeting after the Deshaun Watson deal was signed, the owners have their little meeting, their private session, and during that session, the allegation is they told the other owner, the owners talked amongst themselves and said, stop giving out guaranteed contracts. This has to end now. And you remember right after that, Lamar Jackson was asking for a guaranteed contract, tremendously much more worthy of one than Deshaun Watson was, and famously didn't get one. Kyler Murray also didn't get one. And so this whole nobody's talking about this bombshell ruling thing, part of it is really hard to understand. Here's the other part of it. At the end of the day, the arbitrator found two things, and this is where it gets confusing. The arbitrator said, one, yes, in that room, the owners said to each other, we've got to quit giving out guaranteed contracts to football players. And that is a request for collusion. They were colluding with each other, 32 teams, 32 owners, saying, we got to quit doing this. Number two, though, he said, they didn't actually collude. So they talked about it, but they didn't do it. So there is no penalty here. There is no court. There is no anything. So that's the other reason this isn't going to get mass market attention, because the ultimate finding was no fault of the NFL. The NFL got off without any penalty here. So it's hard to call this, as Florio is doing, the most consequential sports ruling since the 90s, when let's just take one, for example, O'Bannon versus NCAA that ruled that college kids could make money off their name, image, and likeness. Then that ruling, it changed college sports forever, and the person making the argument won. In this argument, in this case, the person making the argument lost, and it was found that they are not colluding. So there's that. Some of the examples are interesting. Now, part of it is also the owners have realized if you don't have to give guaranteed contracts, you shouldn't, because you get out of these things quickly. I mean, look at Russell Wilson, who didn't get even a fully guaranteed deal. But I promise you the Broncos regret what they gave him, because they had to pay it off. They had to subsidize a year of him playing in Pittsburgh. The owners themselves will realize what's going on here. In a salary cap league, these things take care of themselves on their own. Should football players get fully guaranteed contracts? Yes, of course. It's a dangerous game. People get hurt. Things change. Are they ever going to get them? Almost certainly no in the current salary cap system, because you can't commit salary down the line to a guy. You think about the Bobby Bonilla thing with the Mets, right? The Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla. It has not hampered their ability to field a successful baseball team. Because in baseball, you can just throw more money at the problem. In football, it's a salary cap league. You're restricted from how much money you can spend on the problem. So if you commit future years' money, you hurt your ability to be competitive in future years. Now, some teams do that voluntarily. The Tom Brady Buccaneers spent all their money for like the next 5 years to win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. I think everybody feels good about that outcome. They would do that again. The Aaron Rodgers, name your team Aaron Rodgers have played for, spent all their money to build Aaron Rodgers a winner. I don't think the Jets love that decision right now. Jets don't have money to spend, and they got one quarter of Aaron Rodgers and then a year where nothing happened. It doesn't always work the way you think it's going to work out. The system self-polices itself. But that's why when you hear that, everybody loves the conspiracy that this is what ESPN doesn't want you to know about. They won't talk about this. Yes, it says the NFL owners got in a room and said, we got to quit giving out guaranteed contracts. There is no consequence here. There is no anything there. Maybe someday there will be, and that will be news. But if somebody tells you this is the biggest thing and the NFL is working to hide it, no, it's just a complicated thing that's hard to understand that ended with the NFL winning in front of the arbitrator and the Players Association didn't appeal or sue. So it ended there. That's why nobody's talking about it. You know what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about football. We're going to go around the NFC. Griffin's going to realign the NFL to make it geographically sensible. I think we're all waiting for that big moment here in show history. We'll have Zach Joachim on the show 11 o'clock to fill us in on VCU basketball, all the moves they've been making this offseason. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. And be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome aboard on an abbreviated Wednesday version of MP on the Mic. Good reason, though. We're going to send you out to the Diamond in 35 minutes for Flying Squirrels baseball. Last day game at the Diamond this week. The Wednesday game. Last Wednesday day game of the season. Last chance to skip work. Get out there, see the Squirrels. Only two more day games left, period, after today. This Sunday will be a matinee. And then the final game at the Diamond before they blow that sucker up and go over to CarMax Park. So we'll get out of here 11:35, make room for Flying Squirrels baseball. Trey and Blaine standing by, ready to bring you the latest. I'm excited because we haven't brought on our next guest in a little while. So we'll do that right now. Zach Joachim, Richmond Times-Dispatch, richmond.com. Does it all, does everything. But Zach, obviously want to talk VCU hoops with you because I need you to educate me, Zach. Welcome. How you doing?
I'm good, MP. It has been too long, my friend. So they're going to blow up the Diamond, big boom.
They haven't made that plan yet, but I think we're all volunteering to push the button when they do. Whenever they could sell tickets to that and fund CarMax Park, we wouldn't even need to raise taxes. Sell tickets, pay a little extra, you can push the button. I'm all the way in on that.
I'm so there. They do the in-your-face fireworks, obviously, on a regular basis, which is one of my favorite experiences at Flying Squirrels games. That would be a different type of in-your-face fireworks that I think a lot of people would sign up for the show. We love the Diamonds, but it's time.
Heck yeah. I love the in-your-face fireworks as well. Zach Joachim covers VCU basketball. Zach, I don't know who any of these people are, but I know I'm supposed to be excited about them. Tell me what I need to know about VCU basketball right now.
I think the group that Phil Martelli has brought in has turned a lot of heads around the country. I spoke with Tobias Bass a few weeks ago as a staff editor at The Athletic. Obviously, a lot of admiration for the work they do covering the college basketball scene. And he came out with a list of his top mid-majors in the country in terms of what they've done in the transfer portal. And VCU was on there. You obviously got some guys with high major experience coming from some really strong programs, some guys who've played in the NCAA tournament, mixed with some guys who are returning from the Ryan Odom era. Brandon Jennings obviously had a really strong year for VCU last year. Terrence Hill flashed some exciting stuff. Christian Furman is a beloved fan favorite, just to name a few guys. And then as far as the guys that they brought in the portal, man, I mean, some of these were big-time recruits out of high school. I did a story on Ahmad Noel, who came from UConn. Phil Martelli really tapped into his Philadelphia recruiting roots to go and get him. He was a top 40 recruit in the country out of high school. And it stood out to me. I was talking to Matt Shelton Eve a few weeks ago, who does VCU Ram Nation, and he said if VCU had gotten Noel out of high school, they would have thrown a parade on Broad Street, right? I mean, you've got a few guys who were really strong recruits who maybe didn't get the playing time at big programs that they wanted to last year, as was the case with Noel, obviously a lot of talent at UConn. And so I'm excited about what he can do. I mean, we could go down the list here, man. Jordan Tillery, Phil Martelli made a point of calling him on the day that he got the VCU job. He committed to VCU under Ryan Odom and stuck with his commitment. He's a freshman from Orlando, Florida, went through IMG Academy. He's a team-loaded kid, obviously a really well-respected AAU program around the country. two guys coming over from Bryant, who had really good years playing for Martelli last year. Barry Evans was the America East Newcomer of the Year. Keyshawn Mitchell, a 6'11 forward, really, really good rebounder. And then, like I said, a couple of guys from high majors who have experience playing at the highest level in the NCAA tournament. Jadrian Tracy played for Oregon the last couple of years, got some time in the NCAA tournament, was a contributor for that team. And then Tyrell Ward sat out last year, but he's coming over from LSU. 2 years ago, he was one of the best shooters in the SEC, obviously the best basketball conference in the country right now. And so if you can do it at that level, I think a lot of people are excited to see what he can do in the A-10 and the VCU uniform. And me and Awad were talking about this the other day. We both love Lazar Djokovic, who was formerly at Xavier and then Charleston. That was his path before coming to VCU. He's a Serbian native, 6'11", 235. He's an enforcer down low. I really loved watching his film. Great rim runner, sets screens, really unselfish player who's going to free up a lot of those guards on the perimeter. And I think you can expect a lot of exciting dunks on lobs and dump-offs for him. So I'm really excited about this group of guys that they've got, and a great mix, you know, of some returning guys who know the culture of VCU and some guys who've played under Martelli who know what kind of system he wants to run, in addition to some guys who played at the high major level. And so I expect this team to compete for another A-10 championship and be in the mix for an NCAA tournament bid, especially because I think the talk of the town right now is probably the schedule that they're putting together, right? Utah State early in the year at a neutral site in Frisco. I think that's November 7th. There's talk of a Clemson matchup coming together. Obviously, NC State, which a lot of people are excited about. VCU is going to face Will Wade, which will be a lot of fun. That first game is going to be in Raleigh this upcoming season, and then the return matchup the following year. So Jimmy Martelli, I talked to him a month and a half ago or so about him and Phil's connection and the brothers coaching together again. When he was the director of basketball operations under Mike Rhodes, he was really in charge of putting together that non-conference schedule and got a lot of praise in those years for what he was able to do. And it's a collective effort now. It's not just Jimmy. Brendan Phelps, Luke St. Lifer, everyone on that staff, they're really putting together a strong non-conference schedule that's going to give VCU a chance to build an NCAA tournament resume and have a little bit of more of a margin for error in A-10 play than they have in the last couple of years. So a lot to be excited about concerning the Rams right now.
I'm so excited for this schedule. I love getting some meaningful November games, December games, some games that'll boost the resume. And I can't help but think back to letting that opportunity slip away last year down in Charleston. And it's tough because, as you know, this is a new team being freshly assembled and practicing together for the first time. And I think if you took the March VCU team, put them in a time machine, brought them back to Charleston, yeah, that tournament goes differently for them, and they win that first game. But you gotta play the games when they're scheduled, and these guys will have the opportunities. And I'm excited to watch that, excited to follow along. And yeah, I appreciate that roster breakdown. I'm gonna need a program when we go to the first game, but I'm glad you're on top of it. And I agree with you. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect them to contend and them to be near the top of the A-10 in a conference that these aren't the only guys making moves. I think it's going to be a really fun A-10 schedule next year.
No, a lot of people really like what St. Louis has done. I love George Washington has been kind of one of the talks of the country from a mid-major perspective, and bringing back the core that they had from last year. They're going to be a legit contender for a top four seed and a double bye this year. Love what they've done up in Foggy Bottom. And we've got the conference pairings a couple weeks ago as well, right? So I think a lot of people have been talking about that. VCU is going to have home and homes with Dayton, Fordham, George Mason, Richmond, and St. Louis, which I think on the whole is positive. It should be a really good St. Louis team. Obviously, you get Richmond and Dayton every year. And Mason, right? I think perhaps they take a step back after the great season that they had last year. Tony Skin is an outstanding coach, and I love what he's built there. I think they're going to continue to succeed. But they obviously had an amazing season last year. Lost a couple pieces, including Jalen Haynes, all-conference big man. That was huge for them. And I get to go to Rose Hill, MP. I'm so excited. I'm probably the only one who's excited about that Fordham matchup. I think our friend George Templeton, who might be listening right now.
Oh, he is
calling me out on Twitter as the only person who is excited for the home home with Fordham, which should be at the bottom of the conference. But if you've never been to Rose Hill Gymnasium in the Bronx, it is the oldest on-campus Division I venue in the country that a basketball team is still playing in. It's a big old Gothic cathedral with a basketball court smacked in the middle of it. And they've done some renovations in recent years. It's really loud. It's cacophonous in there. you know, I think 1,000 people can feel like 4,000 to 5,000 just with how the sound reverberates in there. And I love that place, and I love going to New York. I think I'm going to go to the Bahamas and the Battle for Atlantis too, which I'm incredibly excited for. And that's a pretty strong field down there. Where is it? Let me pull that up in the teams there. Colorado State, St. Mary's, Vanderbilt, and plus VCU. So those are your teams last year that were in the NCAA tournament. So for VCU, I think Colorado State might take a step back this year. So you're really hoping to end up with games against St. Mary and or Vanderbilt. South Florida, Virginia Tech. And so you might get a VCU matchup against Toby Lawal, which will be fun. Western Kentucky and Wichita State in that field. For any Rams fans that are able to make the trip down to Atlantis, that's obviously going to be a ton of fun there. And then we talked about NC State, New Mexico as well. They have to return that home and home. VCU lost in Albuquerque last year. Probably a New Mexico team that's going to take a step back after the departure of Richard Pitino and their star, Donovan Dent, who just killed VCU last year. I think that game's going to be right around Christmas. I think everyone always loves that Christmas Day game, so that should be a fun atmosphere. And between Atlantis and the teams that we've talked about here, they're going to have a real chance to be in a strong position going into Atlantic 10 play. And then the splits for the teams that they're only going to play home and away in the A-10 are interesting. I think you can look at it from two different perspectives, right? Because the group that they're going to have only coming to the Siegel Center is decidedly stronger than the group that they're going to have to face on the road. Now, from a negative perspective, that limits your opportunities in A-10 play to go get resume-boosting road wins, right? That win at Loyola Chicago, for instance, was huge for VCU last year in terms of boosting their net. The net loves where you can get double-digit wins on the road against quality opponents. But you're playing G-Dub, Loyola, Bonaventure, and St. Joseph's all at home. You're going to Davidson, Duquesne, LaSalle, and Rhode Island, right? That group of four teams that you're only playing on the road all finished below that group of four teams that you're only playing at home this coming season. So from a positive perspective, that should give VCU a really good chance to win all of those games. But in order to get those resume-boosting road wins, you know, the game at Dayton, the game at Mason, and the game at SLU will be huge for VCU because you won't have a whole lot of great road opportunities in conference play. But you're going to have a chance to win, I think, 14, 15, 16 games, right? They went 15-3 last year and tied with Mason atop the conference. Like, that's what you can expect and hope for if you're a VCU fan from conference play this coming season.
I hear Wichita State. I think about those great bracket buster games back in the days. It'd be fun to get those teams back together again. And AWOD series says Lazar Djokovic, that's his guy. So you're going to have to fight him.
He's already pinned out his guy.
He's already got dibs. You got to pick another guy. Everybody's got to have a guy here. I'm going to wait for the black and gold game. I'll get a guy. Don't worry. But it's not going to be Lazar Djokovic. I'm not like that. I'm not a bandwagoner around here.
Give AWOD my condolences, by the way, because he went and saw his Blues, his Chelsea team play in the Club World Cup recently here, and they took a tough loss to Flamengo, and former Arsenal and Chelsea player Jorginho was wonderful in that game. There's been some really good competition in the Club World Cup. I've been pleasantly surprised. I hope he enjoyed that experience, but as an Arsenal fan, I didn't hate watching his Blues lose there.
Yeah, he had a good time up there in Philly.
It looked like it.
It's good to be back in Richmond as well. I didn't want to bring this up. You went to Bonnaroo, and that was as sad as it got right there. I was feeling for my guy.
You know, credit to the festival, because they gave us 100% refund. Credit to Live Nation and all of the organizers there, because that was great. So we got everything back for the ticket and for camping. But yes, for anyone who doesn't know, Bonnaroo, four-day music festival, one of the biggest ones in the world in Manchester, Tennessee. We got the first day. We got Thursday. It's supposed to run Thursday to Sunday. I saw Luke Combs. He was wonderful. I saw Will Dorado, which is going to be at the Allianz Amphitheater on August 1st with The Head and the Heart, if anyone's looking for a good show. And Insane Clown Posse closed it out at 1 a.m. on Thursday night. So that was a fun set. Everyone's in clown face paint, and they shoot soda at you from the stage and everything.
Buddy, I'm old. You don't have to tell me who the Insane Clown Posse is.
It was new to me. Apparently, were they big in the 90s, I think? So I was very young at their heyday, but I really enjoyed that show. And then the skies just opened up on Friday, and we were in a delay for about 6 hours sitting in our cars, and it was dangerous for a little bit there, right? Because the wind gets going, and you got easy ups and tents flying all over a campsite with 80,000 people camping on a farm, and it was a swamp on Friday, and the forecast was that the rain was going to continue throughout Saturday and Sunday, which it did. And by Saturday, when most people were out of there, it was a river. And so I think they had no choice but to call it. It was incredibly sad because, you put in the gas money to drive 8.5 hours there from Richmond. You take the PTO and everything. So we were heartbroken. There were a lot of bands that I was excited to see that I didn't get to see. Hop Mulligan, Justice, Hozier, Olivia Rodrigo, Tyler, the Creator. But I've gone on a concert buying spree since I got back. So
you got your money back.
Refund on the ticket, yes, to good use. So I got some good shows coming up this summer.
Some good shows around Richmond. Zach Joachim, we will catch up soon. I know I'll see you at the Stew soon, so that'll be exciting. Before we go, don't want to dive too into it because it's a sad story, but I want to give you your credit for some very good reporting yesterday on the death of Jaylen Martinez, which we've mentioned here, of course, a very sad story, but those are really tough ones to report too. So I thought you did a nice job with that, giving us the information we were looking for there yesterday, and I know our thoughts are with their family, and will be in the days and weeks to come as well. I'm sure he'll be properly properly tributed once the VCU season begins.
Thank you, man. Incredibly sad story. Rising star in the local basketball scene, was a beloved figure. Played for Liberty Middle School in Ashland, led them to a county championship last year. His mother, Sierra Martinez, who raised him, was a VCU alum. Obviously, Joy Rodriguez, a Final Four legend for VCU, so he grew up around the program. But I was, struck and touched by seeing the local basketball community come together. I talked with Aaron Roussel, the women's coach at UR, a little bit yesterday, whose son Riley played with Jaylen, and Aaron coached him a little bit on a youth team over this past year. Chris Mooney knew him as well. Chris put out a really beautiful statement. And so, obviously, rivals on the basketball court, Rams and Spiders, but none of that matters in a moment like this. And so it was wonderful to see the local basketball community rally around the Martinez and Rodriguez families and around VCU. And I think that's a big part of why, all of us cover sports, right? Because in moments of community trauma and grief like that, sports can be a really strong connector, and they have been this week around the terrible story and death of a kid who was really beloved in the local community.
Well put, Zach Joachim. You can read him in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, richmond.com. Have a good summer, buddy. I'm sure I'll see you around. Won't see you on this show. We're taking the next few weeks off before we get down to Commanders training camp, which will be its own fun. Flying Squirrels baseball today, momentarily. We'll get you out to Trey and Blaine, wrap this thing up. On the other side, you're listening to 910
The Fan. 910
The Fan,
105.1
FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard. Our intern, Griffin, had an idea this morning, and you came in, and you said to me, I got a topic.
Yeah, I was so pissed off last night.
You were, it was foaming
bad.
At the mouth.
It was bad. Angry. I couldn't sleep.
give me the problem.
Well, last night I was just thinking about the greatest game of all, NFC, AFC football, man.
NFL football.
Love it.
Perfect product.
Except there's one giant problem that I just couldn't get behind.
Okay.
So you know how you like to give me, you're thinking about this conference and this division, right? So I was thinking, all right, who am I going to pick? So I did. I was thinking, NFC West, they're all over there. Cool, whatever. NFC South, they're in the South. NFC North, perfect. NFC East, that's perfect. The NFC is pretty solid. Now I'm looking.
But not at Dallas. Dallas isn't in the
Dallas,
East. Dallas isn't in the East.
Listen, Dallas, I don't even speak about Dallas right now.
Yeah.
What really made me mad is the AFC South. You have Houston, Jacksonville, Tennessee. Whatever. It's fine. But Indianapolis is not South. Why do they do this to me?
Not the South.
Why do you do this to me? And then Kansas City in the West? That's not the West.
Not the West.
Not the West. Why do they do this to me? Why?
It's out of alignment. It's out of whack. You've also got... Dolphins and Patriots in the same conference. Yeah. They're not close to each other. They're both technically East, but they're not geographically sensible.
Why isn't Miami not in the AFC South?
So you rearranged...
I did.
...the NFL into new conferences.
Yeah.
Now, you've got to protect... You got to protect some things here, right? You got to protect rivalries. You got to, you got to look out for everybody geographically.
Yes, you did.
I'm excited. So during the break, you pitched this to me. During the break, I did this too.
Okay, good.
So I'm ready as well. I only kept one division intact.
I think I kept two.
I kept the NFC North intact. It's the perfect division. They're all right next to each other. They all hate each other. They've all got history there. perfect division. No
doubt. I did that one, but I also kept NFC West together as well.
I also would like to cheat and move a team.
I also cheated and moved a team as well.
We have to move a team for this to work.
We did. And where did we both move them to? Oakland?
I put Oakland or Portland. either one. We'll let them fight it out over
that. Yeah, that's fine. Bidding war. So, we're going to start with the NFC East.
Okay.
My NFC East. Congratulations to Washington Commanders, New York Giants, and the Philadelphia Eagles will stay the same.
Excellent.
I think they're perfect. Their new AWOD's not going to like this. The new rivalry, the Baltimore Ravens, are coming into the NFC East. What a conference that is. What a division that is.
Powerhouse. All right. You've got to keep Baltimore and DC together. That's a rivalry that's got juice to it.
Yep.
Yeah. We're all putting them together.
I agree.
But there's another rivalry you got to protect too, Griffin.
Dallas.
No. Steelers Ravens.
Oh.
Great NFL rivalry.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with Dallas is they're geographically, they're just floating.
No.
And anybody against the Cowboys is a big game. With all due respect to the Commanders fans, everybody gets fired up when they play Dallas. I get we have something special, and hopefully we'll play them a lot, but we can't protect that geographically here. So I got Steelers, Ravens, Commanders, Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
The Pennsylvania teams, so you can have the Steelers, Eagles, Pennsylvania rivalry. Eagles, Commanders, I think we all agree that that's a hot one.
That's a good one.
Ravens, Commanders is going to be one. And of course, you have your Steelers, Ravens. I've protected a lot of rivalries here. That's a marquee division.
And that the Commanders this year will probably finish last in that division.
As a loaded division.
Yeah.
That's a loaded division, no doubt about it. So my AFC East now, Patriots, Jets, Bills, Giants. I put the New York teams together. I put the New York teams together. Giants, Patriots, they will make a rivalry out of that. Bills against everybody being the team of New York. So we've got the three New York teams together, and we're throwing the Patriots into the mix.
I like that. I kept the same AFC East. I threw Tennessee in the AFC East again.
What are you doing? You started this segment by complaining about what was and wasn't
AFC,
the East, and you put Nashville, Tennessee in the East.
Tennessee is included in the East, guys. It touches Virginia, which is in the East, so that counts as the AFC East. Look at the map, and then tell me Tennessee's not East.
I'm looking at the map, and I'm telling you, Tennessee is not in the East.
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is.
All right, this is broken down quickly here. I put the Chiefs and the Cowboys together in a new South because you got to create some juice there.
I did
in the Midwest. Yeah,
I also put Houston in the same one, and then poor Jacksonville. Sorry, you're also in the AFC South.
Let's talk about Jacksonville for a second.
Okay,
you've put them in the South,
AFC South. Yeah.
Okay, with Kansas City
and is Kansas City and Jacksonville not in the South?
They're a long ways from each other.
Well, listen, I can't put them. I was thinking about putting them in a group, but it got really confusing for this brain this early o'clock.
It did.
So I just... Brain o'clock was not working, and I just put Jacksonville, which is South, Houston, South, Dallas is South, and Kansas City, Kim, South.
You are going to be me when we do the Super Bowl show this year from San Francisco, and my show starts at 7 in the morning in San Francisco.
Oh.
And I go out with my guys, AWOD and GP, at night.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stand a chance at 7 a.m. This could be a rough show.
Yeah, right there with you.
That first hour is going to be rough. My NFC South, I went Saints, Falcons, Jaguars, Bucks. Moved them together all close geographically. I just don't feel bad breaking up the South teams. Saints, Falcons is the one true rivalry in the South, so I protected that one.
Yep,
I did too. You may have figured out by now the Miami Dolphins are the team that I'm going to make move.
I have realized that. Well, the funny thing is, why Miami?
Not a good sports town.
Okay.
Great town to visit. Not a good sports town. They don't have fans. There's the 72 Dolphins.
Yep.
I don't think you're going to break a lot of hearts by moving them.
Okay.
And Oakland will build a new tradition.
Miami's more of a college football town.
I think it's more of a hanging out town. I just don't know that Miami's got a ton of excitement.
Yeah.
Is anybody in Miami going to miss the Dolphins if they leave right now? I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever met a Miami Dolphins fan.
The other option is you can move the Buccaneers and keep the Dolphins, but
I did not do that.
I think you want to keep I think you want to keep the pirate ship.
I kept Tampa, yeah. Atlanta, New Orleans, except yeah. I didn't move Miami. I put Miami in the NFC South.
You did? Yes. Yeah. Yes, because you took some geographic liberties along
yes,
the
I
way.
Did.
That's all right.
I did. I became, well, I told you, I said, doing this. I said, oh, it makes sense now that why they do the way they do.
What's your toughest division in your new one?
Really, I think it is the NFC East. You look at the Eagles, Ravens, Commanders, and then the Giants.
You kept the Giants. You at least have one. It's like the AFC North right now. They're keeping the Browns around. Because you need some wins.
Listen.
You need some feel-good wins.
Exactly. And the other one, the AFC West, my AFC West, that's a tough division. The Oakland Panthers are going to come out strong. They're going to come out strong. And they have to play in a Denver, L.A., and Las Vegas. That's a very tough division right there.
The Oakland Panthers. With their quarterback, with Canales, Young. I mean, they got the total package right there.
That's a tough division.
We call this bit season. This was peak bit season right here. So nicely done, Griffin.
Thank you.
You come back at 10:45. We'll actually rank some actual NFL divisions.
Yeah, that
sounds like
fun.
A plan. Sounds like
yeah,
a plan.
That sounds good.
Aaron Rodgers said some things. We better address that. We'll do that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. It's a Wednesday. It's a summer Wednesday. It's hot out there is the weather today. Weather is hot. I left the studio yesterday, and I melted. I actually kind of like sneaky, like, good feelings in life when your car, like, cooks to, like, 200 degrees and you get in. I kind of don't hate that. Not forever. I turned on the air conditioner. Not forever. But especially after we're in here where it's cold, it's nice to get a little blast, freshen up a little bit. It's a sick society, or so I've heard. Aaron Rodgers chatted yesterday. The junkies are all in on the Manti Te'o theory. I don't know if you heard that. The theory is Aaron Rodgers does not actually have a wife. He keeps making he's wearing a wedding ring, and he keeps making she wants to be private. Her name may or may not be Brittany. It may or may not be spelled correctly. That's all we know. He's not going to share who this is with everybody. The junkies are all in on this theory that it's a Manti Te'o situation.
Oh, I think it's Elon Musk.
But that Aaron's in on it too, obviously. Manti was not in on it when
you
it,
think Aaron's in on it. I guess he has to be.
He'd have to be.
Sure, sure.
You can't fake marry somebody and keep the illusion. That's
She's
too
on
far.
A tablet.
Yeah,
like, my camera doesn't work.
That's too far. You can't go that far. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show explaining once again to all of America that he does not want attention.
It's a sick society, isn't it? It's a sick society. I lived in a public eye for 20 years. I had public relationship. How did that work out? You know, I had people leaking my home information and making up stories that we bought a house together. I had people calling the paparazzi. I had people, posting personal life on the internet.
That's Aaron Rodgers. You can catch his Netflix special streaming now. Aaron Rodgers, playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season, said, among other things, that he is going to play one more season. He thinks this is his last year. That he came to the Steelers in large part because of Mike Tomlin. He loves Mike Tomlin. Who doesn't love Mike Tomlin? And this one, which I think is particularly good. After he retires, he's not going to be heard from again. He's not doing the TV deal. He's not doing the things. Here's Aaron Rodgers on his post-retirement career.
And where are we at in society where that's like the norm now? That just because I'm not selling wedding photos to the magazines or leaking personal information or making a loving post on Instagram. And look, you want to do that? That's fine. It's your own prerogative. I don't care. That's just not what I want to do. I don't want to be a part of any of that. I told you, when this is all done, I'm out. You won't see me. And I know that I've chosen to be in the public eye for one more season, but my private life is staying private.
That's Aaron Rodgers, played for the New York Jets voluntarily for two seasons. Aaron Rodgers says you're not going to see him again after he retires. I'm going to take the over on that bet. I think we will absolutely see Aaron Rodgers again after he retires. If he retires after this season. I wouldn't... If it goes well, who knows? Because the Steelers still haven't found their guy. They don't have anybody on that roster that I think they're developed. There's no Jordan Love situation brewing here. There's no, well, play do this season and we're ready to hand it off to this guy who's coming in behind you. Is Mason Rudolph your quarterback in waiting? It doesn't feel like a great plan for the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is the ride or die year here for Tomlin. If he craters out, that's one thing. If they finish with 9 wins, that's another. I think he's got to make the playoffs. I think it's fascinating if they crater, because then you can pin it all on Rodgers, but it still doesn't get you any closer to having a franchise quarterback. Maybe this is the plan. The plan is to tank, have Aaron Rodgers sabotage everything from inside, and then you get Arch Manning next year. Now we're talking. Now you've got a plan for the future. Arch Manning with the Steelers with that defense, that'd be kind of dangerous right there. I'm excited to watch him this season. Did you see the Steve Spurrier thing yesterday? Steve Spurrier is, so in the SEC, they call this time of year talking season, because there's no football, so everybody's just talking about it. Steve Spurrier yesterday, this is one of my new favorite quotes of all time. Steve Spurrier, most people are picking Texas to win the SEC. They've got Arch Manning already winning the Heisman. My question is, if he's so good, how come they let Quinn Ewers play last season? And he's only a 7th-round draft pick. That's good talking season right there. Nobody stirs the pot like the old ball coach. 7-4-12, not too good. Some worse than us, though. Other NFL items we got to get to. The Washington Commanders were in D.C. City Council making the sell on their stadium proposal, said they have not ruled out the possibility of a retractable roof for the new stadium. So that's going to make a lot of you happy who have been clamoring for the retractable roof, the open-air feel, the games. Not many stadiums being built with the retractable roof these days. The full roof is the norm. I don't even know what the technology would look like now. The Falcons have the weird one where it kind of spirals in and spirals out. The Cowboys have one on their stadium. They've also got the garage doors on the side where they can open them up. It'd get me excited. I don't know how much it costs, but it's not my money. It's Josh Harris's money. We'll see how that develops. I'd be curious to see if they are able to consider that or get it in. I would like that. I would like the retractable roof option because I love being outside for a football game. But on the other hand, it's very clear this is not just a football development, that they want concerts and Final Fours and all those other things. And you're going to need a roof to get those things back in D.C. The NCAA, not content to let Aaron Rodgers hog the crazy, would like some of it as well. The NCAA will vote next week on allowing athletes, coaches, and staffers to do sports betting on non-NCAA sports. So right now, if you're an NCAA athlete, you are banned from betting on sports. It does feel like we're just kind of chipping away at this a little bit at a time here, the normalizing of sports betting, that they'll allow college athletes to bet on NFL games, essentially, which is not allowed right now. I don't have a problem with that. It makes me less interested in hearing their we can't have betting here, but betting's fine over there. It makes a lot of money, so betting's just not over here. You just can't bet over there. Be consistent. Do your thing. Be consistent. And do that. I want to talk about the Commanders in light of the rest of the division too. So we'll make time for that today as we move on through the show. A reminder. 11:35, we're out of here today. It's Flying Squirrels Baseball. It's the Flying Squirrels and the Redding Fighting Phils. Hazel, I think we can sneak in the Commanders update or the Flying Squirrels update before the break here, because it's a quick one. So let's go ahead and fire that up.
From the dugout to the warning track, the latest from the diamond.
The Squirrels entered yesterday. They're getting the segment they deserve. The Squirrels entered Tuesday tied for first place in the Eastern League and left yesterday tied for last place in the Eastern League. The standings reset. It was a fresh start. 0-1 now in the second half after a 6-3 loss to the Redding Fightin' Phils. Redding took a 1-0 lead in the top of the first inning today. is day game, as previously mentioned, RVA Day at the Diamond. It is wine and canines. Bring your dog out. Get a $7 wine slushie until 1 p.m. Or if you're caught at work or if you just don't want to go out today, enjoy the call with Trey and Blaine. They'll join you at 11:35 for the AAA pregame show. We'll come back. We'll keep things rolling right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide, on the free Odyssey app, even when we're not here. Taking a few weeks off here at the start of July, we'll be back in Ashburn at Washington Commanders Training Camp. Live training camp shows presumably start on July 24th. I didn't have that yesterday. I got that today. That's a Thursday, July 24th. Now, you're not here for that, so we're not going to see each other for months. This is semi-tragic. My thoughts exactly. Griffin will be there at training camp, is my understanding, right? You're still hanging out when we're doing training camp, right?
I think so.
You think so? Training camp's a lot of fun.
I would totally go.
Yeah.
No matter where I am.
It's as good as it gets. Fun interviews, we hang out, then we go out to dinner and we charge it to the company. That's
like
the dream.
That. I like that.
Now Odyssey has a no booze policy. So I don't even know if you're 21 or not.
I'm 21.
You are 21.
Freshly 21.
You're freshly 21. All right. So we'll go somewhere with cheap booze then, if we need to. Although kids don't drink anymore like they used to.
I'm a big margarita.
Yeah.
Like cocktails and stuff like
but
that.
But a lot of your friends who are 21 probably don't drink, right? Is that?
Wouldn't say they don't. Say they don't.
All right. I feel like I'm meeting an increasing number of young people that are...
It's not as popular as it was.
Yeah, I think that's...
Not as popular as it was.
That's right. Thank you for bailing me out. I appreciate
You're welcome.
That. Good work there. This is the one we've all been waiting for as we continue our tour around the NFL's divisions. We're predicting the NFC East right now.
Yeah.
And the Washington Commanders play in that division, and the Washington Commanders play here on 910 The Fan. I cannot, in good conscience, pick them to win because I think the Eagles are better than them. But I can explain to you how they could win.
Go ahead.
The NFC East.
Please.
The Eagles are famously fragile. They have more talent than the Commanders, inarguably. And I'm not even going to say this is an injury situation. But even if the whole roster remains intact, they could just self-implode. Turn on each other, finger point, the fans boo them. I think that's the best path at this moment to a Commanders win. The other path is we earn it. It's Commanders at 8 wins, Eagles at 10 wins going into that final stretch. They play twice, win them both. You got the tiebreaker, you make up a 2-game differential. So without predicting it, I'm telling you there's a chance.
Yeah.
Where are you at here on the NFC East?
Well, that got me fired up just thinking about it because I was just thinking about Nick Sirianni cussing out his fans.
Right.
Last year.
Non-zero
like
chance.
Yeah.
That this, that, like, they it's Super Bowl, run it back, the ring, and then all of a sudden they're 5-6, they're getting booed, and Nick Sirianni's going double bird at the fans.
And you think, because it's like the Eagles fans have now such a high expectation for their team. The moment they lose a bad game to us, the Giants, or the Cowboys,
oh man,
all hell breaks loose.
No question.
But yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with you. Unfortunately, I see a way where we could even end up third. I think Dallas is sneaky good, especially with George Pickens. And their defense is always good. I hate Michael Parsons with a passion.
Now, you've got, say what you will about the Cowboys, and we will say it. We will say it all fall long. But they have actual talent on the team.
Yes, they have actual talent on their team. As much as it pains me to say, they have a lot of talent. But they have Dak Prescott, and I do not trust Dak Prescott. That's either to stay healthy, that's either to win big games. I don't trust him, and I don't think they have. Who's their running back?
They moved on from Zeke.
They moved on from Zeke.
Yeah.
They moved on from Rico.
This says Javonte Williams.
Okay, like I said, who's their running back?
Javonte Williams.
From the Denver Broncos, was he not?
From the Broncos, prior to UNC, yes.
Okay. So they have a they have to really, really rely on Dak Prescott to throw the ball, and I do not know if I can trust him. Who do I trust? The best quarterback in the division, JD5, Jaden Daniels. Yes. Obviously, people say he's going to have a step back. I don't think so. I think he's going to have the same season. Maybe not as many as impressive as last year, but I'll have Commander second, Eagles first, Dallas third, and sorry, New York. I like your DL. I think you guys are on to something, but you can't win with Jackson or Russell.
It's a wild room. Yeah. Jameis Winston as well.
Yeah.
In that. It's the best room. And Tommy DeVito, like, on the practice squad? Are you kidding me?
That is a great quarterback room.
What a room.
That's a fun quarterback room.
What a room. I'd watch Hard Knocks of them.
I wish.
Maybe you wouldn't watch them play football, but I'd watch Hard Knocks.
Oh, yeah.
Them. I'm penciling the Cowboys in for 9 wins. That's a team that's built to get your hopes up every year without delivering on the goods. The Skins had that stretch for a while, right? We're just very consistent 9-game winners.
Yeah.
Are they going to crack through that ceiling? No, they're clearly not. They're not going to be in the Super Bowl.
No.
But they're going to have some wins. All right, drop the Eagles' schedule here. The opener against the Cowboys, Thursday night game. Look, I think they'll win that. It's Super Bowl ring night. Everybody's fired up for that. But if the Cowboys can win that one, dream with me.
I'm dreaming.
If the Cowboys can win that one, the next week, the Eagles are going to Kansas City. So you got Eagles-Chiefs, the rematch.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a 50-50 game. Then the Rams are coming. We love Sean McVay. All of a sudden, you're 0-2 home game against Sean McVay and the Rams with the crowd ready to turn on you at the slightest provocation.
I'm glad you brought this up because, so again, I really got to stop being bored because I just start doing stuff. I did an entire NFL
Sports
prediction.
Radio may not be the career for you then.
Yeah, really. It's terrible, honestly. Good Lord. I was 2-hour drive to the river, and I predicted every team's schedule.
We have a river here.
It's not the James, though. Tappahannock.
Okay.
I did not drive 2 hours to the James River. That would be impressive.
All right. I'm just trying to save you some time.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I like the Tappahannock, though.
Tappahannock was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice. Especially when I predicted the Philadelphia Eagles to go 13-4. But now, looking back at it, I just did it quick. I predicted 11-6.
Okay.
Because I listened to your thoughts about one loss, especially when you play Dallas. If Dallas beats you that week, you got to play Kansas City. And then L.A.'s a tough team. At Tampa Bay's tough.
They'll win at Tampa, yeah. The dreaming can only go
yeah,
so far.
Right.
They'll win at Tampa.
Yeah. But still.
But still.
And then you have Buffalo at Green Bay. I think Green Bay and Minnesota, that's three games right there that I can see are tough. Like, Eagles got a tough schedule. So I can see a play where they might be better than us, and they might beat us twice, but their overall record may not be better than the Commanders.
I'll make another NFC East prediction while we're making NFC East predictions here. The winner of the NFC East will not get the bye in this year's playoffs. And that's nothing against the division. I just think there's too many good teams playing too tough a schedule.
Yeah, I think I can get behind that, especially the NFC North. I think that's hard to...
The North and the AFC West, that's, you know, if you get out of there with a winning record, I think you should feel really proud of your season.
Like,
my take all along has been, if the Commanders finish 10-7 and make the playoffs, that is not a step backwards.
That is
holding their own in a tough schedule with the bullseye on their back.
Where is the floor for the Commanders? Like, what do you think the floor is?
If Jaden Daniels plays 17 games or plays 14 games or plays a majority of the season, I think the floor is at 6 wins.
Okay.
I think the defense is a real potential question mark.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to make a higher floor with the defense.
Yeah.
If you can promise me the 20th best defense in football, I'll set the floor at 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that.
I just my sinking fear is this season could be torpedoed by a lot of 45-42 losses.
Yeah, what worried me was last year was we won by one possession so much.
A lot of times.
So much. I didn't care how you got it, right? And I almost...
It was super fun.
It was a lot of fun.
That'll be the most fun season we have until they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Just because it was unexpected, because of the joy, because of Jaden Daniels and watching him.
We were 7-2 at one point.
It was incredible.
I was like, I've never seen this before.
And they weathered the storm, too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Which not every Washington team has done historically.
I don't think it was generally like remarkable watching us like actually go into a place and actually play football and like win and like put it in the end zone and stuff, like actually do football things.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Like, I watched that Miami and Buffalo game like last year, 2 years ago. I remember being like, wow, this team will never be good.
All right, we'll wrap this segment up. We're going to send Griffin back out to the river today to get some fresh insights, and we'll finish up this series tomorrow. I've had a lot of fun doing this. We're back on the other side. Zach Joaquin breaking down VCU basketball. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.